Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Tad Smart Talk with Steve-O. That's me, WLOB 1310, millions of watts of power coming from somewhere. And that was the Mallet Brothers, one of my favorite groups in the whole world. And that was the intro for our musical guest who's involved with the music scene here in Maine. Not only involved, I would dare say she is the high priestess, the goddess, the leader of the band, the straw that stirs the drink. Everything having to do with music in Maine, one way or the other, is connected to Lauren Wayne. Lauren, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Quite an intro.
Was that too much hyperbole?
I don't know. I have a lot to live up to now.
Well, you've already had, like, you know, a triple career and all the stuff you've done, so why don't we cover this? Lauren is the general manager of the State Theater, and she's done some great stuff there, and she's brought some big groups to town. A couple of years ago, Mumford & Sons were, that may have been one of the biggest groups that have come in a long time, right?
Yeah, biggest outdoor festival slash concert in Portland yet.
Fantastic. And so you were here last year, and we covered a lot, but why don't we just recover a little bit of it, stuff, like how you started out in music, and then how you end up coming to Maine?
I don't know. My story's kind of typical with how I started out with music. I started listening to it. And then
I know, but back then it was cassettes, right? I mean, you know,
back then it was cassettes, vinyl, lots of cassettes, lots of vinyl.
And you had to put your little fingernail in there when the cassette tape little bit wind down.
Yep.
Yeah, those were the days.
Cassettes still.
I still have, if you look in the other side of the studio, we got 8 tracks, we have cassettes. We rocked.
Come to my cassette release party.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll be just you and me?
Or yeah.
How many
that's
people?
That's all we need.
That's all we need.
And our cassettes.
Oh, I love the cassettes.
Just like really had a passion for music and know I wanted to follow that passion somewhere. And then along the way, did a couple of jobs here and there and moved to Maine with some friends out of Arizona because we just wanted to try it and fell in love with Portland and have stayed here ever since. And very lucky enough to find a job in this industry.
Yeah, in fact, I want to talk about the industry and also the stuff you're doing at the State Theater. And what other role do you play in music other than being the high priestess and the goddess of music and live music in Maine?
We at the State Theater, we also own the club down the street, Port City Music Hall. So between the two rooms, we're doing about 220 shows a year. And so I am the GM of both venues. I buy the talent for the State Theater, for a lot of the shows at Port City, do most of the marketing, and then have an amazing staff to
absolutely
run the rooms.
Yep. Give them credit.
Best in the business.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons we played the Mallets was because, aren't you doing a release thing?
They do on Saturday.
Wow, and this airs on Saturday. So tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight. One of my favorite groups in the whole world.
They are amazing.
They were actually in the studio with all of their instruments playing out last year.
That's great. Yeah, love those guys. So that will sell out. So if you don't have your tickets, get to the box office as soon as possible.
Yeah, and sometimes every once in a while they pull their dad out of the audience. He's a well-known musician going back many years.
Yeah, he just actually played at One Longfellow for an event called State of the State. And it was sold out.
Wow. One of the things, and by the way, we've got Lauren Wayne here, General Manager, State Theater, Port City Music. I went back, because I've been a fan of live music for years, and I grew up outside of Boston. And everywhere you went in Boston, you'd hear about Don Law Presents, or Frank J. Russo.
Yep.
And so concert promotion was something, I think when live music was really in its heyday in the 70s and 80s, it was this very cool thing. It was something that wasn't just about music. It was about social engagement. It was about everything. And I looked back, and if you go to the Civic Center, which is now the Cross Insurance
Arena,
I'm in marketing, and so I support sponsorships, and I support title change. But do you think anyone will ever really catch on with the CIA thing, or will always just be the Civic Center?
I'm legally obligated to say the Cross Insurance Arena.
I know you're legally obligated. Okay, so you no, can, but
kidding.
It's like CIA. They're trying to brand it, and all the staff wear the little CIA thing. But
it is difficult now because there are two, the Cross Insurance Arena and the Cross Insurance Center in Bangor.
And again, I've only been doing marketing for 35 years, and so, you know, some of this is a little bit new to me. But did any of those guys think for a moment that they were diluting the title branding and the equity by putting, you know,
arena? Not sure what happened there, but
did
anyone
think
have been something
before,
in the contract?
Somewhere along the line, they're spending all this money to draw attention to their business and obviously to make it a commercial thing. And you can't have the two biggest venues in Maine called the same thing. It's like, what was that show? It was some old crazy show, Bob Newhart, where one of the characters was named Bill and my other brother Bill or my other brother Bill or whatever it was.
Larry.
Yeah, this is my brother Larry and my other brother Larry. It's like that. Do you want to go to the Cross Center? What Cross Center? You know, the one up there. No, the one in Maine. Which one in Maine?
Yeah, no, it is confusing. I'm waiting for the artist that shows up in Bangor, but
I know.
Meant to play Portland.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you get five tour buses and six trucks pull up to the wrong place. And some tour manager plugged in the long GPS coordinates, and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry. In like an hour, you're supposed to be somewhere else.
No, it's the wrong Cross Insurance.
Yeah. Don't you know that all of our buildings are called? Enough ragging about. But the Civic Center, which has been around for a long time, if you go to their website and you dig around and you look at old shows, I'm telling you, it's interesting. And for listeners, you know, if you Google Cumberland County Civic Center, it takes you one of the Cross Insurance things. But you dig around, you look at past shows. In 1979, this is just a small sample. 1979, in May 6th, 1979, Johnny Cash was there. And then 7 days later, the Grateful Dead showed up. And then like 3 weeks later, Tom Jones. And then 6 days to kind of counteract the gratuitousness of Tom Jones, Lawrence Wilk came in. And then 3 days later, Journey, of course, with nobody could replace Steve Perry. And then 4 days later, Joan Baez, Helen Reddy, and then James Taylor, who, by the way, is coming back July 7th, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 days later, Kiss. And then
it's a pretty epic month.
And then 4 days later, the Kinks. And then 3 days later, Steve Martin doing a comedy, sold 7,000 tickets. Then Van Halen, then Allman Brothers. Sean Cassidy. Did you have his poster? I bet you did. Didn't you? No?
I think he was a little bit before my time.
Oh, he was epic.
I mean, when I was that age.
Yeah.
But yes.
But just as a general, in a few months period, Blue Oyster Cult, Cheap Trick, Bugs Bunny doing something. Let me get one. And then
I can't believe I missed the Bugs Bunny show.
I know. In 79, Frank Sinatra, Bonnie Raitt, Jethro Tull, who for years I thought was a person, not a group. Yeah, my brother did that to me. He was like, yeah, what do you think of him? He's a great guy, isn't he? I'm like, oh, I love Jethro Tull. Foreigner, America, Aerosmith, Outlaws. And then in 78, Bob Seger, Gordon Lightfoot, Elvis Presley, Sales and Croft, Foreigner, Jackson Brown. Within a few months, there were more people playing in a few months than play anywhere in Maine in years now. And this is a long way to get to this question. We've got Lord Wayne here. But what do you think was different in the 70s and the 80s when 30 or 40 major acts would come to Portland and they would sell 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 tickets? And now if one big act comes, it's like this epic thing. What's changed? Is it the market that's changed here or is live music?
I think it's more of the business and then the market, you know, doesn't really have a venue that changed with the business. So back then, you know, it was relatively new to tour. It was relatively a new business for a promoter. And so those big acts, that were, you know, not as big as the touring acts now, had a place to play at the 7,000-8,000 venue of the Civic Center, the Cumberland County Civic Center.
Right.
And now when you're talking about arena acts, you're talking, you know, TD Garden and that level, and there's no place really to put that band here. There's no place for a U2. There's no place for a Dave Matthews Band in Portland.
I know, but there was a place a few years ago for Mumford & Sons. You found a place.
We did, but it's a public park.
I know. And by the way, before I jump off of that, you know, it's been a while since something was there. I know that afterwards the city was you know, you went to the city and you know, there's some mythology about you wrote a letter to Mumford & Sons and said, hey, I'm Lauren, I'm a promoter in Maine.
It wasn't quite that
easy. And they were looking for a couple of small dates, and you were like, this is a great place. They said, okay, we are coming here because of you, Lauren Wayne. And then you went to the city and you said, hey, this is big.
That's how it happened.
It's mythology. Come on, go with the mythology.
It was all me.
It was all you. And you've already said you wanted to thank your staff. You've already covered that. But somehow Mumford & Sons ended up here. You work with the city and your group was the promoter.
Yep.
And it was a safe, fun, great concert. And they did a post-concert review and everything
amazing.
Looked great. Why haven't we had big concerts back since then?
Well, it's hard to do anything of that level on a public park. There's a lot of loophole or hula hoops.
There's hula hoops and loopholes. There's hula hoops. There's hoops to jump through.
There's no loopholes, unfortunately. There are a lot of hoops to jump through to get something like that taken care of. You know, one of them has to be, you have to be pretty confident that a band's going to sell 16,000 tickets right off the bat. You have to get approval from the city. You have to work around the limitations of a public park. And we understand that. And we just haven't felt comfortable that a situation has come up since. Not that it won't. It just hasn't yet.
What contemporary groups would there be out there that you think could kind of fit that?
See, that's the thing. It's like you have to have a group that fits that vibe like a Mumford & Sons, where they curate the fans that, you know, for lack of a better phrase, don't cause problems. You know, they're relatively mellow. It's going to be
they're popular enough, but
it's
they're not
going to be Fish.
Right.
It's not going to be a metal band. You know, it's not going to be as much as it would be amazing to have like a Dave Matthews or a Zac Brown band. You know, their crowds can get a little rowdy, which is a good thing in the concert world, but
not
in
like
a public
park.
How about
like an old guy? You know, what about an old guy band? Get, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. They've done a bunch of Central Park things. And if you get
James Taylor's
coming to the Civic Center July 7th, but he'd be a great guy out there in the field. You'd get.
I love Mr. Taylor. I'm not positive, you know.
He would draw?
He would do 16,000. And so the economics of putting on a show in a public park where you have to fence that square footage, and
right.
And you know, it's not snow fencing. It's a post. You know, you drive
security fence because people would be
It's the size of the stage. It's your production. It's all the elements that it takes to put on a show. It's really pricey.
By the way, whatever happened to Mumford & Sons? Didn't
they're back? They're back.
Well, I know, but didn't they spin out of control? Didn't Mumford run into a little substance abuse thing?
Or
am I thinking of
brain aneurysm?
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Little,
of course,
break. But they're back.
Oh, okay. So are they touring out this summer?
They are. They actually are doing their Gentlemen of the Road festivals this summer in, I think it's 4 or 5 United States states and a couple in Europe.
So
with really amazing lineups.
Have you been in touch since you're old friends?
No. I mean, we text, but
I know. Just the innocuous little test. Okay. What about Kings of Leon? They're the ones that the guy ran into all kinds of substance abuse stuff, right?
Yeah.
They had like a couple hit songs. They were on Saturday Night Live.
They were on fire.
The pun was intended. Fantastic. I know, but what happened to old rock and roll where it's like the Rolling Stones,
like
the
old rock and roll.
Led
There's
Zeppelin could
awesome
do their
bands
they
out
could
there.
Do their heroin and they could still show up.
Yeah.
And
that's the problem these days. I think artists just they don't know how to play on heroin.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think that phrase has ever been uttered on WLOB, you know, talk radio 1310. Our listening audience are thinking, you know, Fred, did they just talk about heroin? It was that Lauren Wayne. Yeah, nobody's promoting
drug use,
but it's a different culture.
It's a sad
thing. But
The state of the touring industry has changed so drastically. You know, it's a business. It's a total business. You run your band like a business. You have a professional tour manager. You've got your agent. You've got your manager. You've got your business manager. You've got your financial manager. So if you can't hold it together on tour, then you're not going to make it. Because that's really basically how a band is making most of their revenue.
Right. And back in the 70s and 80s, the big thing was getting the big record company contract.
Yep.
Which there's a great Boston song about that, you know, sign my big record company contract. But now the record company deals are minuscule.
Yep.
And the big revenue source that bands and performers can capture themselves is really the live concert stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is good for me and the company.
Well, but how do we get this quality? You know, we go back to the 70s and 80s. And
that quality's still happening. It's happening on a smaller level.
We've got Lauren Wayne here. She is the general manager of the State Theater. Let's talk about what you're doing now at the State Theater and talk a little bit about the facility, what shows are coming up, and then we'll talk about other things about music here in Maine.
Sure. We've got some amazing shows coming up. We've got, I think, one of the busiest summers at the State and Port City that I can remember in a long time. We've got Father John Misty. We just announced the Decemberists in July. We just announced the Kathy Griffin date at the State. We're doing some stuff over at Merrill with Garrison Keillor. We just had a Sufjan Stevens show last week at Merrill. So tons of good stuff.
Wow. And
big stuff.
And also you forgot about Brandi Carlile.
Brandi Carlile sold out May 22nd. Sold out in 3 days, I think, 3 or 4 days. It's huge for her.
Really?
Well, that her new album is amazing. It's really good. So she sold out the State before, but not this fast. So whenever you know somebody sells out the State 3 or 4 days, that's pretty epic.
Wow.
And her tour is slamming.
Yeah, she's so talented. In fact, you and I had talked about that on through email a few weeks ago where, you know, both my wife and daughter, it's like their favorite. You know, she crosses generations.
Yep.
She's contemporary to young people and contemporary to people who just like really good music.
She's a great artist. Nice person.
And then what do you have going on at Thompson Point? You're also doing some shows out there.
Yeah, we're excited to be involved at Thompson's Point. So we're the exclusive promoters on that particular concert site. And we've announced our first show with June 28th with Ingrid Michaelson. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an awesome grand opening show. And then a Primus show on July 27th with Dinosaur Jr. Bring your earplugs.
Dinosaur. Yeah, that sounds like an acoustic kind of an orchestra set.
It's an intimate acoustic evening with Primus, except it's not going to be acoustic at all.
Very loud.
Hopefully not intimate.
I think I have to do some sort of journalistic disclosure here in that I was one of the early investors of on Thompson's Point. So I think I'm still involved with some financial interest in Thompson Point, so I certainly applaud that personally and from a business standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
What will the concert setup be like? Because right now it's basically a clear kind of peninsula out there with a big thing, and what do you have to do to prepare that to put on shows this summer?
So lots to do. This year will be a lot of temporary infrastructure until we get our first season under our belts and kind of see what works best. There'll be a nice grassy lawn on the whole point. It's hard to kind of describe it on radio without a visual, but if you go on our Facebook page, there's visuals there. The stage will be shooting toward the water, so the crowd, the audience will be surrounded by water on three sides. And then the...
Do you have to use fence, or do you have faith in human nature that people aren't going to slide down the banks into the water?
We have faith that no one will want to get stuck in the mud.
I'd go 50-50. If there was going to be a pool on how long it would take before someone...
Well, Primus is a different story. Not worried about Ingrid Michaelson fans.
Yeah. Primus, the group themselves may go into the water.
They might, and we'll encourage that.
That's fantastic. That is, we've got Lauren Wayne here.
We're super psyched. It's going to be a great site. And the whole project as a whole is something that really excites us. And we think it'll be really good.
Yeah, Thompson Point, they're doing some interesting things. For those of you that may not be familiar where Thompson Point is, it's right off. You can see it from 295, and there's an access road over by the Amtrak station.
The transportation center.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful visual with the airport right there.
Yeah, well,
so you can
sponsor Southwest.
you could get Southwest to kind of buzz the show and just kind of, that's fantastic. Sully, you there?
Sure am.
Now, this is a generational thing. Sully, who's from a more recent generation, is a big music fan. And when I told her I had the one and only Lauren Wayne coming in, she was like,
Ooh.
Lauren? No, she was like, the general manager of the State, Port City. What groups would you like to see, Sully? Okay, so here you have a chance.
Pressure's on.
You were talking on the air with Lauren Wayne, who runs music in Maine. Nothing happens in Maine musically without Lauren.
I know.
So you have a chance right now to put in your order, to push your jukebox button, whatever you want to do, and say, hey, how about we do this? How say you?
Well, I have to plug my friends, the Ghost of Paul Revere.
Oh, love them.
Love
we had them.
Them
at Port City for New Year's.
I was there.
Sold out show.
It was awesome, and they had a great time, and I had a great time, and I know that they'd love to headline the state someday.
Oh, and they will. We love those guys.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them. Is it? Yeah. Am I too old?
Oh, Steve.
No, you'd like them.
I would. I like mallets.
You'd like the Ghost of Paul Revere.
Yeah. Any other requests other than Paul Revere? What do you got? Anything?
You can't put me on the spot like this, or else I'll come up with a list of 20 acts, and then what are you going to do?
I don't know. We'll expand
the
show.
Take notes.
So there's nothing. You get come up with a contemporary act, a big act, something commercial, something people would...
Well, who do you listen to most?
Like what?
All?
Yeah, when was the last time
there
you bought...
There is no most in my library. It's everything. It's... Although I will say that I just saw Walk the Moon at the Asylum.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't our show.
I know. But I wish that it was. I wish that it was. It could have.
It should have been. Why the heck
did it? It should have been.
Well,
there
were
lots of people there, and it was a much better show than I expected.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's sad to me? This is what's sad to me. Again, the sad thing for me is when you see your childhood heroes in any genre, whether it's entertainers or actors, but in musicians, where at one point they're playing out the big shows, and then before you know it, they're at the Ramada Inn or the Holiday Inn or whatever, and
the casino.
Oh, they're not even at the main stage at the casino. They're by the slot machines in the back.
Busking.
Yeah. And I don't know, is 38 Special part of that? You know, but all these groups that were big groups, and now they're basically just paying bills.
Yeah.
There's like a whole specialty of that old kind of rerun act, right?
Yeah.
But you guys don't do a lot of that State Theater. You keep it fresh.
No, we do some. We do. We've had Foreigner at the State Theater.
Really?
Yeah, we had Kansas.
Oh, one other musical thing, since you are the musical high priestess of Maine. We've got Lauren Wayne here. She's in charge of everything having to do with music. Her official title is general manager of the State Theater, Port City, but she brings in Mumford & Sons. She texts with them all the time. From a different era, Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh, my God.
Does
yeah.
it make you sad? It makes me sad. I was a Beatles fan. Beatles are great. But it makes, it's like, so there's some young people that don't even know of Paul McCartney, and he's singing backup, and he's playing with...
But think of how many young people now know who Paul McCartney is because he played on a Rihanna song.
I know, but I know that, but it's still sad. He's like Paul McCartney. It's like Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
so, I know.
You know, it's...
I know, you got to move on. You don't share my sadness.
He's definitely not doing it because he needs the money.
Well, I know. He's almost a billionaire, right? You know, even Stella, his daughter, who's like a fashion designer, she doesn't need the money. But you can't see this radio listening audience, all 2 million of you, because this goes out on iTunes. And in my mind, there's 2 million of you listening. But right behind me in the studio is a collection. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Lauren Wayne. But iTunes, when you do iTunes, all your album art goes into the iTunes thing, and you export it as a file. And I had this drape made. This is Steve-O's music collection.
Very nice.
So as I'm looking behind me here, I've got Kiss, a little Bon Jovi. I've got Aerosmith, The Boss, Fleetwood. Why can't we get Springsteen? Let's get Springsteen here. Can we do that?
Let's try it.
I can do it if you help.
Anything is possible.
We got Rush. We got Fleetwood Mac. What do you think of my collection here? Simon and Garfunkel?
It's
Eagles.
It's a wonderful collection.
Elvis. There's the Who right up there. Who's next?
And that's where's right. Phil Collins, Steve-O?
Phil Collins is up there.
Did he
there.
Not make the curtain?
He may be on the curtain in the other room.
His own curtain?
He's
got his own curtain.
He's got his own curtain.
Hey, Tom Petty, did you go see Tom Petty at the Civic Center?
I saw Tom Petty. You know who opened Steve Winwood?
I know.
In a different...
Can you imagine?
Were you there?
No, I did not go to
that
show.
Oh, my God. Steve Winwood, who when he was like 19 or 13, was in Traffic, and then he was low spark of High Heel Boys. That was part of my youth. And I didn't think he would be opening up for...
Well, you got to be pretty damn big to have someone like Steve Winwood open your show.
I know. But, you know, Petty's great.
Love Petty.
Petty is great. He just keeps... And he has a very unique music...
He's like Springsteen.
Yeah. How about we do this as we wrap up here, Lauren, because you are in charge of music in Maine. If you don't give the nod... Nothing happens.
That's not true.
You're being modest.
That's not true.
You are being modest. So how about we do this? Springsteen apparently has some relationship with New Jersey, from what I hear. Like he lives
just
there. Just a rumor. Just there's a little bit of a connection. You and I put our forces together and try to talk to John Landau or whoever. And we get Springsteen to play Maine. And I think we've run out of runway for this year. But for next year, we get him on the hill overlooking the
Let's
prom.
Do it. Let's do it.
Okay, because...
You know, I mean, he loves Portland. He spends some time at Gateway.
I know. In fact, that's where they master. You know, his favorite guy is over there that does a lot of the mastering for him, right?
Yep.
Okay, you heard it here on WLOB 1310. The High Priestess of Music in Maine, Lauren Wayne, has promised to work with me to collaborate to get Springsteen here in 2016.
Don't tell anybody.
No. We've got about 3 listeners, and if any of them say anything, I'm counting on you guys out there. If you say anything, big trouble. But thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure. And for more information on what's going on at the State Theater, go to statetheaterportland.com. They're on Facebook, State Theater Portland. Their Twitter, State Theater Maine, M-E. Instagram, State Theater Portland.
We're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
We love the social media.
They love it. And if you have any requests on music to bring to town, it's got to go through Lauren Wayne.
Yeah. Don't email me.
Yeah, she'll give a fake email now. It's great having you here. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Tad Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB, 1310 a.m. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Time Smart Talk with Steve-O. You're listening to WLOB 1310 AM. And the music you hear in the background, I don't blame you if you think that it's one of the greatest albums or the greatest music of all time, it's the greatest band, but it's actually live in the studio. We are lucky to have the Mallet Brothers Band back in the studio. They're just releasing a new album we'll talk about. Welcome, Mallet Brothers.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The Mallet Brothers, just to set this up, because we do a lot of political interviews, you know, Deb is here as the producer, and she makes sure that in terms of all the FCC stuff and the political stuff and the government stuff, that I go with full disclosure at all times. So I'm going to start the show by saying the Mallet Brothers Band is one of my favorite bands of all time. I've got to disclose it, right, Deb?
Yes.
Okay, if
Thank
I don't, there's a problem.
There's a big problem.
Big problem, Deb says. Big fan of you guys. Really appreciate you coming in. You were here a few months ago, and you've got some exciting news in terms of releasing a new album. So typically there's six of you, but we can only fit five here in the studio.
Yeah, we had to leave someone at home today. That's okay.
Well, the drum kit wouldn't have fit,
the
really.
The drum kit does not fit, yeah.
So that's Luke. We've got Luke Mallet. We've got Will. We've got Wally Zinzel, Nat Sully, and Nick Lean. Welcome to the Mallet Brothers.
Thank you.
So let's start a little bit, because we had you in here before, and we talked a little bit about the background. And for people that may or may not be familiar with your music, you've got a new album that's come out, and you guys are going to play three of the songs. But talk a little bit about how the band formed and how long you guys have been playing together.
We've been playing together about 3.5 years. We got together, a lot of these guys had played in other bands together over the years, Yeah, I moved to town. I moved in with Luke and Nick, and we started playing, and we started getting these other guys over to jam. And then a few months later, we were recording an album. And then a few months after that, we were playing shows every weekend. And we pretty much haven't stopped since.
Yeah, we've been going since.
Yeah.
My guess is, not that this interview will be the launch point or the critical mass point, which would be great if you credited, but after this new album comes out, that you guys will be in high demand, and we'll have to talk to your agent. We'll say, you know, we've got to talk to the manager, to talk to the guys. You know, I hope you deserve all the success in the world, but I hope you don't get too big time, that you won't come back sometime and, you know, see you at a show and say hi, and you'll have security push me away saying, get that big guy away from us.
Well, I don't know about big time, but we'd settle for paychecks any day now. It's been an expensive endeavor, this whole record. But
a paycheck.
Yeah, a paycheck. Yeah, that would be nice.
Any paycheck, or, you know, I know that when you play out at clubs, sometimes they give you food, and sometimes
they give you
a couple drinks.
There's a lot of that. It keeps us going.
There's that famous scene in the Blues Brothers movie where they play a gig, and at the end of it, the bar owner's like, oh, man, you guys were great. By the way, you owe us $320 for your bar tab.
Yeah.
That can get a little uncomfortable. You're here to talk about the launch of the new album that's just coming out. It's called Land. Talk a little bit about why this is and how this is different than the first two albums, and then after that we'll have you play a song.
Well,
is the style different? Is the approach, the writing? I know the production's a little different.
Yeah, the production's a little different. We went to a studio that we hadn't worked in before with a really great producer named John Wyman from here in Maine. And it was really great. It was just kind of a good experience. It was different. The last two we recorded at Wally's studio with Wally producing, who is also our dobro and guitar player. And having Wally have to wear two hats kind of at the same time was like a little bit like stressful for him. And, you know, we figured let's just get a third party to do it.
The process was different too, because
in terms of writing songs,
when we
stuff,
did so. It in our own practice space with Wally, we took our time and we stretched it out. We worked on it for a long time, and some of the parts were painstaking, and it was a different vibe to be under the gun, kind of. We were in the studio for 10 days this time, and it was get it done. And yeah. I think it was good motivation for all of us, too.
Yeah, it's amazing when I look at some of the groups in the 60s and 70s, how they did it more like that. I mean, the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac, that's kind of a pop genre. But in country, guys would go in the studio, and something about that energy, I think, sometimes translated to the music. Whereas if you had too much time, sometimes that has an effect too.
There's merits to both, you know. It's just two different processes.
Well, why don't we start with one song? We'll come back and talk a little bit about the album. And you guys mentioned that you want to, you know, we have three songs here that you thought, Something to Lean On, All Kinds of Crazy, and Piece of Land. Which one would you like to start with? And then we'll come back and talk a little bit about the music.
We'll start with Something to Lean On.
Great.
I guess. This one came out of a batch. We were on tour in North Carolina in the fall, and we rented a house for a few days.
Right.
We had a couple days off, and we all kind of went into our rooms and shut the doors and wrote songs. We all kind of came out to meet for dinner, and like, I was like, yo, guys, I got three new songs. And Luke's like, yo, I got two new songs. And Nate's like, oh, I got two new songs, too. Well, it was pretty cool. It was like it was a fun thing. So a lot of the songs on the album actually came out of that little writing binge.
Great. Out of North Carolina, Something to Lean On by the Malaprosh.
Oh, this is one of those, yeah.
I got a girl with 16 karat green eyes. They're like the sun coming out of the cold gray sky. Praise God and the devil, she's a diamond in the rough. Like a fine piece of metal in a world so tough. When I feel like things ain't going my way, and there's a cold breeze blowing through the Chevrolet. She gives me what I need when I get home at night. Cooking macaroni and cheese by the fireplace light. She gave me something to lean on. You give me somewhere to go. You give me something to run on. When my tank is running low, and every time I start to break down, you pull me off of the floor. And you give me something to lean on. There was a time when I thought that the world was cold, hiding my face from the people on the road. Building up walls like an ancient king. Well, I didn't want to have anything to do with anything. But now me and my girl are just hanging around. And the mandolin making such a magical sound. While I'm stomping my boots on the old pine floor, she's got the backbeat covered on the tambo. She gave me something to lean on. You gave me somewhere to go. You gave me something to run on. My tank is running low. And every time I start to break down, you pull me off of the floor. And you give me something to lean on. Time I start to shine. turn it into a globe. You give me something to lean on. You give me something to lean on.
Wow, that's great. That's Something to Lean on, the new album of the Mallet Brothers Band. So that was one of that's out of the North Carolina Living the House Together collection.
Yeah, not Asheville. Living, just passing a few days.
Asheville, hiking in the Blue Ridge Mountains every day and staying in this little log cabin in Asheville.
It was great. Tour can be really rough.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You're based here in Maine. You guys grew up in Maine, or at least most of you guys grew up in Maine. And in order to get your music out there, you spent a lot of time on the road in the last year and a half. What's that like for the music, and what's that like for you guys, being away from home so long?
Travel is part of it. Travel is part of it. Travel is everything, really. And that's the best advice I could offer to any kids who want to be musicians someday. The trick is, unfortunately, get in the van and go.
I mean, it doesn't have to be.
No, but it is a big part of it.
The things that...
It's about percentages and chances. The more you put yourself out there, the more people will hear you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
But it's about truth in life, right? And you guys get out there and you're experiencing stuff in different areas and meeting
different
people.
We have gotten an awful lot of road songs over the last few years since we've been on the road. There's a lot of road songs.
Any inspiration from Waffle Houses down south?
Awful House, yes.
Awful.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I used to live in Atlanta.
Good and bad.
I know. I used to live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I used to... work all throughout the South, and there's nothing like an awful waffle at like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
you finish up, and they're always open.
And see that light coming down the interstate with the W missing.
Yeah, it's blinking. It's blinking, but it's not always missing. Sometimes there's a rock through it or something, or a bullet hole or something But they're all over the place. Somehow they haven't let them up north.
Like you said, Wally, it's all about the cook at Waffle House.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, some of them are great. Some of them are so-so.
Yeah, it's what is it? Smothered, covered, and something else.
Oh yeah,
smothered, covered, diced,
I get the hash
chunked.
Browns with everything on them. Whatever
everything.
You call that, it's like loaded
it everything.
Where did the name for the new album? By the way, let's talk about that. When exactly is it this week that the new album Land is officially launching? And where did the name come from? And where is it available right now?
It's going to be available officially this Saturday at the Asylum in Portland. That's where we're going to try to get rid of as many of these things as we can.
Yes.
But then it's going to be in Bull Moose Music on Tuesday, and it'll be on iTunes and all over the internet, CD Baby and probably Amazon and all that stuff within a few days.
Hopefully sooner than that.
By the way, you're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, WLOB 1310 AM. We've got the Mallet Brothers Band here. They're just releasing a new album, Land, that'll be... available at Asylum, at Bull Moose next week, and then online and digital form all over the world. These guys are big. They're huge. In fact, go to their website, find out where they're playing. You've got a couple other songs. Why don't we have you play another tune? All Kinds of Crazy, I think, was a single that's on the album. Is that something you guys want to... that's also on the new album, right?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, how's that sound, Nate?
Yeah.
Sung by our very own Nate Soul.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, ye old Nate Soul.
Ye old
Nick Lean, how you doing over there?
Nick Lean didn't bring his bass today. He's very quiet.
I'm happy.
But, happy as a clam.
He's smiling, chewing, grinning, smiling.
So this is All Kinds of Crazy off the new album by the Mallet Brothers Band.
Lipstick, what a trick, driving like a whiskey sick, hammer downtown, who you talking on the phone with? Bust a blinker beamer with a new GPS, I'm sure it's mighty handy when you're headed out west. All these things you see when you're riding in your rig, dodging all them roller skates and looking out for pigs. The sun is in your eyes, but that's okay, with those black sunglasses you can't see anyway. Wherever you're texting, man, it must be life or death, cause you're headed toward the barrier and swerving to your left.
All these things you see when you're riding in your rig, dodging all them roller skates and looking out for big. It takes all kinds, I guess, but man, what a horrible mess. 6 days I've been told, but I got a heavy load, and it's crazy on the road tonight. Friday, payday, cigars in the ashtray, anti-lock, what a crock, 50 in the fast lane, half-patched tires, spares are rusting in the boot, you cut across my axis and I gotta give it to, all these things you see when you're riding in your rig, dodging all them roller skates and looking out for pay. Two-tone Bondo, look out for them roll cones. Organ donor, plug on in that smoke detector. Lane lover, flat black Cadillac, sawed off in the gun rack. Front door gear jamming, general mess of crap. All these things you see when you're riding in your rig, dodging all them roller skates and looking out for pigs. Takes all kinds, I guess, but man, what a horrible mess. 6 days I've been told, but I got a heavy load, and it's crazy on the road tonight.
Fantastic. That's the Mallet Brothers Band live in the studio, and that's a single off the new album, All Kinds of Crazy. Great song. How many songs did you consider for the album, and what kind of process is it with six guys where everyone kind of has their favorite and there's different parts? And
it's hard.
Doing...
It's
a process.
It's hard. Yeah, it is a process.
We had about 20 songs.
It was 19 songs that were
pretty close to being ready to roll. And pretty much how it worked, there's a lot of good tunes that didn't make it on the record, and we may work them up at some point, any of them. You know, it's just kind of, we played them all, and it was kind of just what we were collectively most excited about. And there was, like, some sort of voting process, too, where, like, you know, you had to pick your favorites, and if something you wanted on there didn't make it on, it's like a drag, but it's like, we kind of keep everything...
We had said 10 before we went in, and we knew we had 19 that we
So it's just
mostly ready.
Recorded, so.
And two recorded, so it was really, really hard.
Well, and honestly, it's kind of a weird thing now, because a lot of bands aren't putting out full albums.
That's true.
Most people are putting out singles or downloads and aren't making that financial commitment. It's a whale to make a record sometimes, and a lot of bands aren't really going that route anymore, so I mean attention span and the whole thing. You know, a lot of people don't even pay attention to
it, but it's all right because we don't plan on stopping, and it sets us up for number four, so
perfect
ultimately.
By the way, we've got Mallet Brothers Band here. In the studio, Brian didn't make it. He slept in. He's the drummer.
Asleep,
yeah, that's fine. But we've got Will Mallet, we've got Luke, and we've got Wally Zinzel, Nate Sully, and Nick Lean here in the studio. If it's all right, why don't we play, was it Piece of Land? Was one of the singles off the new album?
We've never played this acoustic before.
No, really? We just learned it last night.
Yeah, we're going to try.
Perfect.
Just relearned this.
This is Mallet Brothers Band, a song off the new album, Piece of Land.
Somebody told me when I was just a little kid, there ain't much to remember, just gotta do what I did. You gotta find a place that you can call your own. You gotta get a little space, you gotta make a little home. You gotta get a little ground,
You gotta do it on your own. You gotta get out of the band, son. You gotta be your own man. You get a good old gal, save up a couple of grand. You gotta get a piece of land. Or you could get it in a stitch, or you could get it in a town, or you could get it up high, or you could keep it low down, and you could get it on a hillside, and you can make a little still, and you can make that good stuff, or you can make that swell. But you better mark my words now, then you can do what you will. You gotta write this down, boy. You gotta understand. You gotta find your truth. You gotta make your plan. You gotta get a piece of land. Get it in the mountains and be a solo man. Or you can get it on the seaside, start digging up clams. Or you can live on venison, or you can live on lamb. Just write this down and then you can do what you can. You gotta dig it all up with your own two hands. Ride that old eight in into the sunset land. You gotta get a piece of land.
Everybody's clapping in here. Everybody's going crazy. If it was a live audience, people would be jumping up and down. That's why this radio thing is funny in the studio. Hey, that was great.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you guys coming in today. I know you've got a lot going on. You're getting ready to go on the road. But as we said from the start, these guys are about to really break out. It's the Mallet Brothers Band. They've got a website if you're looking to get some information, www.mallet.com. And not only go out and get the new album, Land, but if this is the first time you've really experienced the Mallet Brothers Band, you got to start with the first self-titled album. It came out in 2010, still available, Mallet Brothers Band. And then you've got to get Lowdown. Came out a couple of years ago. I know I have it. It's in heavy rotation on my iPhone, on my iTunes. And then, you know, round it out with Land. And so we've had Will Mallet here. Will, thanks for coming in. Luke,
pleasure.
Thank you for dropping by. Wally, really.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nate, good to see you again. And Nick, Brian's not here. He's gearing up with his drum kit somewhere.
Yes.
I know sometimes, you know, in music and entertainment, you guys hear a lot of hyperbole and a lot of stuff about, oh, you guys are great. And, you know, you guys are incredibly talented. You're committed to your music, committed to your art, and wish you nothing but success going forward, and I know it's going to happen.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks a lot. You've been Mallet Brothers Band. Have been here in the studio. You've been listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O on WLOB 1310.